Oh, there we go. And we are live.
Hi.
Hello. Welcome, everybody, to episode, what is it, 188, 189?
189.
189 episodes of Live at the Hive, Digital Marketing from the Trenches. I am Dan Nadelko.
I'm Stacey DeSantis.
I'm Sachita Gadekar.
And today, welcome, everybody. The last weekend of July. I can't even wrap my head around that because it was May 2 seconds ago.
Right? Yeah.
At least it seemed that way. It sure did seem that way. And today we are going to be talking about four Facebook campaign game plans that you can use to help optimize and get value out of your Facebook investment and actually turn your ad budget from what people think is kind of a black hole of spend into an investment for longer term, and how to deal also with the IDFA and opt-out issues that are going to start rolling out across iOS 14 devices.
Is that all?
That's it. That's all. Okay, but first this week on Live at the Hive, let's dive into what's new. We got quite a few things to dive into. Happy Friday, everybody. Hello, Pippa. Hello, Yvonne. Hello, Ronick. Let's go. Let's just dive right in here. Oops. So first off, we've got some news from Facebook on the campaign ideas generator. So Sachita, I know this one was one of your favorites.
Yeah, it is. And it's a very interesting update from Facebook, especially for running your ads. So what it is basically it's a campaign ideas generator mini site, and it will help you develop ideas for your campaigns with respect to different kind of business verticals. So Facebook has already listed most of the business verticals there. So it's a good start for them. And we could plan for the different events or holidays happening all around the year. And this is not specific to like a country, but to across the globe. So yep. It's very interesting. And I think we can also compare what your, we can get ideas related to the creatives, the messaging, and so on. So that'll be of great help to kind of help you plan your campaign and assets. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, the campaign ideas generator, definitely helpful. That in conjunction with the Facebook ads library, you can go see what your competition or what others are doing. You can gain inspiration from it. And the pre-made assets, I think, are a benefit, especially for small businesses that may be self-advertising or looking to get started with it. So all of this is obviously meant to increase Facebook's revenue and usage of their ads platform. But I think one important thing with Facebook is that Facebook ads really work when you test, you do a lot of boosting, you use organic content. And so, yeah, diving into this tool would definitely be highly recommended.
Yeah, like, but caveat, make sure that when you are using the tool that you don't use exactly verbatim the copy they're suggesting.
Mm-hmm.
Use it as a jumping off point. You know, it's kind of like sometimes creating content is like that sticker. You can't find a loose edge. This is giving you that loose edge so you can start making it your own.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. And one other thing I want to show everybody, and this is going to pop up throughout this live, is one of my favorite newer products on the market. It's called Conversion.ai, but the name of it is Jarvis. So Jarvis is a little nod to Marvel Comics. But it is an AI engine that can really help you. So what you can do, you can see here. Sentence expander, Facebook ad headlines, ad primary text. It's got a content rewriter, content improver. So you can take your content, you can write up a few variations on it. You can plug it in. There's I believe it's a free version that's run on credits. So, you know, you don't have to necessarily invest in it. It's not a big investment is my point. And you can run through the content improver, product descriptions, all of these things. And look at all these different headlines and description generators, and it'll help you get all sorts of different types of tone of voice and everything else.
So, yeah, they're just making it easier and easier for you.
Well, yeah, it's, use the tools.
Yep.
And hopefully writers won't be replaced by AI bots, but you never know.
You're keeping me around. I'm sorry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So on to the next. Lots of stuff in the world of social media. And it's like every week we've got four or five Facebook and Instagram and TikTok, like new features rolling out every 20 seconds.
Yeah, I love the first sentence in this. The utterly unsurprising update from Instagram. It's perfect because it's so true. Now you can do a 60-second reel. Mm-hmm. And pretty soon it's going to be a 3-minute reel. But they're just providing the same options and availability for creators that TikTok and YouTube already offer creators. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, it's a step in the right direction. Are they a little late to the party? Perhaps. But as a creator myself, this is going to make it a lot easier for us to post reels without having to do series and such, because we can actually expand it to having it that 60-second mark. So.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. And I really honestly, I got to hope that they don't introduce 3-minute videos. This is just a personal thing of mine. TikTok is effective because TikTok is so quick and so punchy and so to the point. I think the 3-minute time length, I think, is asking a bit much from the users on that particular platform. And it may sound weird to say that, but I think in the realm of a TikTok and Instagram Reels, that amount of engagement is just probably dropping right off, right? Like how many people are making it 100% of that 3-minute video?
Yeah, you sound just like Yvonne on our team. He was like, if you can't tell me what you need to tell me within 10 to 15 seconds, I'm gone, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that sentiment's going to be pretty common. For selfish reasons, I like the 3-minute because it allows us to tell a longer story, you mm-hmm. know, on the platform. But I agree, you know, anything beyond 60 seconds is usually people are bouncing.
Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine like what time would go into like editing the video.
Yeah, totally. Totally. And I think just one other thing on this point about TikTok and Reels and YouTube Shorts, like all three are boosting incredible amounts of engagement and new engagement. And on all three of those channels, regardless, I think you're going to see Instagram open up the algorithm a bit, or they're going to try to get that virality and discoverability going. But one of the important things is that 60 seconds forces you into a certain type of very quick, very punchy, keep it engaging. It's harder to do that in a 3-minute time frame. So definitely interesting. I think Instagram is just going to continue to do this. Currently experiencing TikTok-like display format for Explore. Trying to copy the best features of that app. Just to be long-winded about it, I think you definitely want to stick in around the 60-second mark if you can. I know, Stacey, you had a banger this week with one of our clients that got 1.2 million TikTok views. So that was a nice win.
It was definitely something awesome to wake up to. It was like,
yes. We've had a few of those in our history, so we're always happy about that because we do try to craft that virality if we can help it.
100%. But just not to toot the horn of the hive, but what made that work really well was it was 60 seconds. Mm-hmm. And it was very authentic. It wasn't something that was staged or planned. It was actually a clip from another show that we had. So rock on.
Yeah, totally. So Yvonne's got a comment. Do you want to make a 3-minute video? Put it on YouTube. Instagram and TikTok are things I want to scroll through fast. I would tend to agree. Yeah. I think this is one of the dangers of social media platforms is I think they're better when they keep it simple, right? Like don't try to be all things to all people which is what's really happening with IGTV. You know, how popular is it? Are you trying to get people off of YouTube and onto IGTV because they're very different dynamics and you're kind of jamming everything, right? Instagram is jamming all the features that they can possibly think of into one app. When simplicity, there's a lot to be said for that. Oh,
Stacey,
Stacey, you have gone mute.
Sorry, I went to clear my throat and I didn't think everybody wanted to hear it, so I muted myself. But what I was quickly just going to say is like, IGTV has an hour-long format, and I don't know of anyone that will stick around for one whole hour on IGTV. I could be wrong.
You know, that's a YouTube notion.
It's a YouTube thing, right?
Yeah, so it's understanding what, and when you're crafting content, you know, understand that you've got to customize the content for the app itself or the platform itself. They're not going to shoehorn well into each other, right? So you've got to have that ability to repurpose content, which is a fine art of repurposing content with efficiency. Cool. So Yvonne's saying this, better to be good at one thing than try to be mediocre at numerous. Couldn't agree more, sir. All right, moving right along, we've got Snapchat launching My Places, highlighting local businesses of interest within the Snap Map. So they're looking to improve business discovery, which is obviously going to drive their revenue. This is an interesting play. I think you know, with the places, you can locate a range of businesses on a map, three different listing categories. Once again, I think that Snapchat is probably going to innovate and then just get ripped off.
Probably. But you know what I found interesting about this is now that with everything kind of opening up again, it's kind of timely how they're launching this right now, because it's going to become something that people are going to probably use versus 6 months ago when we were in lockdown, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah, totally. And that's a nice segue into our next article about...
Can you plan that?
Well, Pinterest lost 24 million monthly active users as lockdowns are easing up and physical stores are reopening. So they did have 11 quarters of consecutive user growth, which is great for them. But yeah, I think people are spending less time at home and decor, gardening, cooking, DIY are especially relevant at home. So they think they disproportionately benefited.
And I don't think Pinterest is the only one feeling this effect. I also did see on Facebook that daily active users have gone completely stale. Like, they're getting new users, their ad revenue is going up, but the number of people that are on there every single day has drastically decreased as well. So
I think one of the things is to understand that this is going to adjust, because you know, at a certain point people were using Facebook and Facebook Messenger as primary communications channels with family and video. So I think that artificially inflated everybody's number. It was obviously very profitable for them, but that's not something that they can kind of ride the coattails of forever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
100%. Okay. Hey, April.
Hello, April. She's tuning into the number one podcast on the planet, the most entertaining digital marketing show ever. Who wouldn't want to be part of this?
I mean, we're on it every week.
Cool. Okay, so I think we can wrap it up there because we've got a lot to get into in a short period of time. Let me just get myself set up here. So this week, what we are talking about is... So today we're going to talk about what game plans are, why they're important, and how you can use them to ensure success. So we use a framework we call the See, Think, Do, Care framework. And we're going to walk through how you can have four plays for different kinds of campaigns and what you can do to make sure that they're successful, or at least do everything you can do to set yourself up for success.
For sure. I think we still have April up on the screen.
Oh, yes. See, she said, look at this.
We love you, April.
This is the best podcast. I have to tune in. So I have to remind myself often that this is turned into an audio-only podcast for Spotify and several others. Okay, so the four we're going to talk about real quickly are lead magnet campaigns, what you can do for a local business campaign, webinar campaigns, and e-commerce campaigns. And I think the big underlying theme here are audiences on Facebook for business.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay. There you go.
Yeah.
So, and you know, maybe I'll just take a step back quickly here and talk a little bit about why these things are important and why audiences are important. And maybe I can just do this. I'll go back here. I can show some of these. So Facebook audiences, my friends, are listed here in your business manager under your audiences. And audiences have a whole bunch of different properties, as you can see here. You can use your sources and you can use Facebook sources. Okay, so your sources are your website, maybe a mobile app, you've got a customer list, and other offline activities you can set up in Facebook. You can also use Facebook sources. Okay, so you can use video. So for example, if I was going to create a video engagement, I create, say, 4 to 6 social videos that I think are going to be highly engaging, highly entertaining. And when I create this, I can say, okay, let's get the biggest group of people here. I want to see people who viewed at least 3 seconds. Or you could do people who viewed at least 10 seconds, right? And people who either completed or viewed at least 15 seconds. So you depend on, like, you can create different groups for different types of engagement. As soon as that person engages, they're in your audience, and you can launch other campaigns directed to those people. And this is how we execute brand awareness on social media. This is how we actually make it work, because we do talk a lot about it. And these audiences are the way that you can do that. Okay. So let's jump back.
Yeah, it's a very powerful tool. It can be confusing when you're first in there to understand how you can delineate and break up those audiences, but we're going to get into that today. But so it's not that mysterious, but it, like, looking at it initially, you could be like, whoa.
Well, I'm not sure what, Sushita, your experience is, but in the vast majority of cases when we audit Facebook ad accounts, we quite often see no use of audiences whatsoever.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, most of them, actually, they don't even have like a business manager set up, mm-hmm. Which is now a very important step, without which you are not even able to run a few ads, because you need to verify the domain and various other things. But yeah, I completely agree. Like, we need, the first step being is to set up your audiences so that you can start saving on your building your audience as you spend that money on Facebook.
Yeah, totally. And that is your investment. The data that gets pulled into your pixel and into your account and into your Facebook audiences is your investment in Facebook. It's how you can reap multiple rewards by continuing to engage on Facebook and Instagram, continue to grow those audiences, keep those, as long as those people are engaged in your content, you'll be able to reach them using your custom audiences. Right? Because they do have a time limit, but the minute that I re-engage with one, then I will go back into that audience and I'm refreshed into that audience again.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So here's our See, Think, Do, Care framework, which starts at the top level. Okay. Mm-hmm. So basically what this does is it maps to our mantra that I think I mentioned probably every week, which is never sell your core product to a cold audience.
Yeah.
Okay. We want to nurture people. So the C campaign, video ads, images, very entertaining, very native, add them to the custom audience. And then we run a second campaign, a think campaign. They've had one engagement with you. Memes work really well up here at the C side of things. Mm-hmm. At the second step, we want to provide value to our potential customer who's engaged with us. So you're going to think about the demographics and the persona and what triggers those people. You can start your campaigns at the first step by using interests. So if I were trying to find new mothers between the ages of 25 and 34, for example, I would add interests of parenting. What kind of pages do they follow? Are they part of groups? That kind of thing. And that's how you can start your initial phase one audience.
And through that too, it's important that when you're crafting the content for that, like you said, it could be a meme. You want to create an emotion. You want to have a reaction. You want something mm-hmm. that's going to make them stop when they see that piece too, right? And hence see.
Yes.
In that section.
Exactly. And the second step, we're going to provide what we would call potentially a lead magnet, something of high value that's applicable to that person. Right? Mm-hmm. And that's going to use this first audience here that we've developed by the video ads. Not video ads. I shouldn't say video ads. By our social videos. And they really should. You got to entertain. You got to engage. Mm-hmm. You want to be part of that community. Don't just throw up an ad that says buy this thing now, because you're going to have an expensive budget.
Okay? Yeah. A lot of people, I think, they just skip to the do phase and mm-hmm. they ignore the see and the think. So the see is grab someone's attention. The think is let's educate or provide some real value behind the brand. And then the do is when you go in for the ask.
Absolutely. Yeah. The do is going in for the ask, and that's your offer. So they've had a couple of touch points. And if you run this consistently, you'll get multiple touch points, right? They're going to engage with this audience. You can boost for very small amounts. We usually start with $50 total, first tranche $20. If nothing moves, you can move on. You can try another test. If it does catch, then you can add another $30 and continue the boost. Okay. So we're talking pretty reasonable budgets, not huge amounts, but run lots of tests. And then our fourth stage is the care side, which is keeping your audience engaged for multiple touch points. Because as everybody knows, I was actually just watching a John Taffer video. Remember him? What was it? Restaurant Rescue? I think he had the show where he would go in and fix ailing restaurants.
Was that Restaurant Makeover or something like that?
I can't remember. His name is John Taffer, though. It was a good show. Yeah. So what he was talking about is how to build up customers into a restaurant. And he's got a great tip. I mean, he knows this stuff. I don't really know the restaurant industry, but this was cool. Is every time a first-time customer comes in, they get a red napkin. So then all of the serving staff knows that that's their first time. And to give them a free meal, 100%. So basically, it's something like if you go to a restaurant four times, you have a 70% chance of returning to that restaurant. But at second and third time, it's like 23%, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So basically, you said give them three free meals, right?
Yeah.
Give them three free meals, knock their socks off, and you'll get a customer for life, right? 100%. And that's the whole idea on the care side. On the care side is to understand and recognize that your current customers will be your future customers. So the investment in Facebook campaigning to these people with value will increase the chance that they're going to repurchase from you. And you can actually build and create some amount of a community around your audience as well. Okay?
Exactly. And one piece which is important when it comes to Facebook, it's kind of part and parcel with the ads, but make sure you're doing community management, because mm-hmm. there are so many people that will just go to the do phase and people will ask questions or they'll write commentary or they'll leave a review and nobody responds. And that's part of the care process as well, making sure that you're actually active on the channel and that you're actually engaging with those people and answering their questions and listening to the feedback. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's the other thing that's important to highlight here before we dive into the four campaigns is that social advertising on social platforms is very different than search advertising. Mm-hmm. And it's very different than any other form of traditional advertising. So because you're in a social setting, you have to use that to the benefit as opposed to just throwing up what you would have on various other platforms. Okay, cool. All right.
Did we say hi to Luke? Apparently, Pippa's husband felt left out because we didn't say hello to him.
Hi, Luke. I don't see. Well, did he say hi?
Yeah, it's at the top. Pippa said, yeah. Where's Luke's hello? Anyway,
I don't see his comment. I would have said hi to Luke. Hi, Luke. I owe you an email. There you go.
Yeah.
It's been a little crazy these days. I don't see. I'm going through the comments list. I don't see anything.
It's up near the top, I think.
No, it's not.
I saw it. Sorry.
It's okay. Okay. So let's dive right into this first. Number one is a lead magnet campaign. This can be seen and thanks. And Sushita, I don't know. You've done probably probably hundreds of campaigns at this point like this, if we include some of our larger clients.
Yeah. Yeah, we have done like so many variations of lead magnets for our clients, and they are one of the top performing and cost effective campaigns so far.
Yeah, totally. And the most important thing about a lead magnet is do not make it about you. Do not make it necessarily directly about your product, but solve a problem for a customer. So in this example here, you can see that we're not trying to sell you a sauna, right? But we want to tell you all of the health benefits of traditional saunas and what they can do for you and how it can benefit your quality of life and your health, right?
And you know what this makes you? A thought leader.
There you go.
Because you're providing value, and now you're an industry expert providing real value for a potential customer.
Yeah. And when we look at larger price points, right, you have to understand that when people are investing $5,000 to $10,000 in something, they're not good. They really want to understand who they're buying it from. What's the quality of the product? So it's harder to make an initial sale just on trying to talk about your product. So by giving them this, then you're starting to spark the conversation and the trust factor between each of the people.
100%.
So yeah. Pippa is saying that he did not say hi.
What?
He just yelled it from the couch. There you go.
There we go.
That works. See, I'm not losing it. I'm like looking at this scrolling
list. I'm losing it clearly.
There you go. Okay. So yeah, make sure you've got a landing page set up, a CTA. We're going to talk a little bit about this further, but you can also use a very effective ads format on Facebook called a Facebook lead ad, where the user does not have to leave the platform. Very effective and very highly converting as well.
Love okay. those.
Yes. So let's look at some of our audiences here. So we definitely want to set up lead magnet campaign targeting. We use broad audience reach. Sashita, I don't know if you wanted to dive into this one a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. So depending on where you want to start with your marketing funnel, if it is the beginning of your marketing funnel, if it is just a brand awareness campaign, you should be promoting your lead magnet by like post boosts and just general traffic campaigns, just because you want to get more eyes on there, irrespective of people if they download the lead or not. But yeah, you want to like spread the word about what your product or service is about. And then secondly is if it is if you've already run brand awareness campaigns in the past and you want to like engage with the clients more, what you can do is create custom audience, which we can create using like people who have already interacted with your Facebook or your website and so on. So mm-hmm. this becomes like pushing your audience towards the step two of your marketing funnel.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you can see here, there's a blend of types of audiences. And absolutely one of the most important things I will say, and we're going to get into it a little bit on iOS 14 and privacy and all that and first-party data, third-party data, is you need to start building your first-party data lists now and make them very strong. So invest in those leads, right, and generating those leads, because we can't rely on third-party data as we have been for several years in this space. Cool. Okay, so there's some tips on lead magnet. Local business campaign. Obviously, local marketing is the majority of marketing by a long shot. Mm-hmm. Facebook gives you a lot of tools and a lot of different options for a local business. You get coupons, you get offers, you get lots of ways to engage people and especially people who have bought from you in the past.
Yeah. Reach out to your local community. Get it done, you know?
Yeah, totally. So obviously there's demographic targeting. It's reasonable if you're a local business and you're going to have people dropping in on you. But one of the things that you want to do as well is do not over-target in a local business audience, unless you're in a highly, highly saturated location like Toronto, GTA, New York City, that kind of thing.
Oh. Yeah. Would you say it's valuable to when you're maybe first getting started to review maybe your Google Analytics to really understand where your customers are viewing your website and then kind of using that as a jumping off point?
Yeah, for sure. I think that's definitely, you know? I mean, you really want to understand as much as you can about your customers and where they're coming from and what they're doing, right? But yeah. One thing that we do find is that sometimes people will get overzealous with targeting in small regions. And then if your reach is 300 people or 1,000 people, right? You're yeah. not going to get that reach. So that's a pretty important thing.
Exactly. And don't make any assumptions, because a lot of I've run into that where people are like, I know my customer and they're here. Meanwhile, they're actually over here, mm-hmm. you know, and that's why going back to the board of understanding your personas, and that journey is really going to help you before you even get into this.
Yeah, anyway, for sure. Yeah. No, it's all good. I think for local businesses that are starting, start your campaigns with broad and interest-based targets. Don't be so, you know, fickle into the idea that my product is only for 45 to 55 year olds, right? Yeah. I've never really believed that to be the case, because here's an example. Whether I'm 55 or whether I'm 25, so if I have a restaurant on a beach, right, and somebody is thirsty, they're my potential customer, right?
Yeah.
So assuming that your customer is fitting into some tidy little age bracket is really cutting yourself off, right? What you can do with a broad audience target is allow the Facebook algorithm to run. Then what you can do is you can inspect your audiences and you can actually see the results. Then you can start to refine it a little bit more. Cool.
Love it. Great advice.
Cool. Okay. Campaign type number 3, obviously hugely popular over the last 19, 20 months, but webinar campaigns. And webinars honestly should be a part of, I think, everybody's mix. They don't have to be 1 hour. You know, this whole notion, actually, this is a funny anecdote. Do you know why 1 hour meetings are a thing?
Why?
Because when Outlook or the first online calendars came out, the default was a 1 hour block. That's the only real definable reason.
Honestly, I love me a 15-minute meeting.
Yeah.
Boom.
Nothing wrong with a 10-minute webinar. Nothing wrong at all, as long as you're providing that value, right? And you can rifle through things and be efficient with it. But we're not talking about constructing your webinar. We'll talk about that one another time. But Sushita, I know that this is a huge part of your life. So I'll let you jump into some tips for people to run successful webinar campaigns.
Yeah. So what we have found out after running so many webinar promotion campaigns is Facebook lead forms. So instead of taking your users to your landing page, you're instead taking them to a lead form, which is auto-filled. So you don't have to, you know, add your details to register for the webinar. They're auto-filled by Facebook. So it kind of, there's a less friction involved in the process, and there are more people enrolling into your webinar. And secondly, another interesting way to directly communicate to your leads would be like the Facebook Messenger ads. So there are two types of Messenger ads that you could leverage to, you know, promote your webinars. First of all is the click to message. So the users can directly click on your ad to send a direct message to, maybe if they have any questions related to the webinar, and then you can answer them during the webinar. So that gives them like more engagement. Mm-hmm. And secondly is the sponsored message. So if you have leads that already have, registered for your webinar in the previous, so you can send them a direct message, which goes to their inbox with like an offer or discount for your webinar.
Absolutely. That's great. One of the things too, I think that's important for us to highlight here. That was very well stated, Sushita. You're getting in the groove of this, eh? You've been doing a few of these.
Yeah.
We're using the example here for a webinar campaign, but you can mix and match these game plans, right? And these tactics you can bend it to your will or to what you need or want to see have happen. Exactly. For sure. But definitely the conversational informality. See, it sounds very formal. Sorry, the way I read that is just my brain working in weird ways. But yes, so lead form ads and messengers. So combine those things and create a continuum. Again, the See, Think, Do, Care framework is start a conversation and build up that brand awareness, provide the value, then you can make an ask, right?
And then you end with a big hug.
Then you end with a big hug. And hopefully a transaction.
Yeah.
So in your custom audiences for webinars and anywhere, the thing with a webinar is it shows a high level of lead intent. Someone's going to dedicate that time to you and to your webinar. Then it's important that you're going to know that that person has a high level of interest. So it's really middle to bottom of funnel, unless you do micro webinars and showing that value.
That's what I was going to say earlier. Talk about qualifying a lead. Like if someone has participated in your webinar and not just watched it, but asked questions.
Yep.
Like what Sachita was just saying. I mean, you know, they're interested at that point. Yeah. You know, like you don't know if they're ultimately going to convert, but there's a pretty high chance they're going to. They're interested. They're participating. They want to learn more. So
for sure. And this is a really important point. The final point, you're maximizing your ad budget because you're showing these ads to your custom audiences rather than a large swath of people who will have no interest in it, could be driving up your prices, you know, because they're clicking through, for example, depending on the format.
Exactly. Another additional tip for running webinar campaigns is maybe you can try and include like webinar snippets while promoting your webinar. So I think that will create a curiosity of what is going to be included in the webinar. And I'm sure that will give the users a reason to click and register for the webinar.
Yep. Always show nuggets. So there's a couple of things on social here that came out of discussions from this week. You should consider social as an extension of your brand property. Now you're leasing it, you don't own it. You own your website, you don't own your space on Facebook, right? But don't consist, I think one of the big problems I see with marketers is they're often trying to very repetitively drive people from Facebook to their website. That can work as a secondary goal, like that's secondary. But don't be afraid to establish your presence on Facebook and leave people there. The algorithms will like you more. Your users will be more comfortable because you're not trying to drive them away. That's a real tough sell, right? On a Facebook, for example. And you'll be far more efficient. Groovy. Okay, so just one another note on post-webinar nurturing as well. You've got your evergreen content. You create your clips, your infographics, your wave videos, which are waveform videos. And you can then use that content to help promote your other events if they're obviously related in some type of a series.
Exactly. We were just talking about Instagram Reels going up to 60 seconds. Take a clip from your webinar and make it into a reel.
Yep. Boom. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Next up, and our final one for today, our e-commerce campaign. So obviously, you know, Shopify is one of the big topics of conversation, but I think some of the effective strategies that you can use are messaging campaigns, for one. I'm going to show you something that's really cool that you could use. It doesn't actually, you're going to have to do a lot of, retargeting and remarketing. Like that's going to be key to you connecting with the correct kind of audience that may want to purchase your products. Okay. So let me just see. Actually, there's one thing I did want to show everybody here, and this is totally off the cuff. So just give me one second. Sometimes I wonder how I run into all these things, but
yeah. Okay.
So this is an off the cuff tip for e-commerce, but this is called Go Tolstoy. Right now it's free. So there you go. You can start, I'll do this. Just let it run. I don't think anybody can hear it.
Very vaguely, very.
Yep. Oh, here we go. Okay, you know what the thing is there's no audio, but it's blasting in my ears. Okay, so what Tolstoy is allows you to put videos into the context of your Shopify site. You can ask someone a question and basically create a choose your own adventure path for them. You qualify your leads. It's very engaging with video. So just a great example of something you can do uniquely on a landing page for your product and have a customized video sitting there that talks people through that specific product and why it would be a benefit for them.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I really love that. Yeah. When I saw Tolstoy, I was like, is this War and Peace? But no, this is good.
Yeah, so it would start with here down in the corner. You click on it.
That's awesome.
You can have a video reply if someone wanted to. as well. So just some interesting, neat stuff to test out in your campaigns.
For sure, because people don't want to talk to people on the phone. So this is a way of almost having like a chatbot experience in a way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Anyway.
All right. So what do we have here? So we're going to obviously build custom audiences to get more conversions, but you should be creating custom audiences for specific product categories and specific products so that you know who visited what, rather than just, I mean, if you've got 100 products or if you've got 10 products, you can imagine that different people are probably motivated by those different products, right? I think one of the last, so create lots of audiences, like mix them and match them and try to group and be creative and think and understand about the consumer purchase behavior. It'll give you lots of data as well, which is kind of nice. It's always very nice.
Okay. Yeah, especially the added product to cart. It's almost like getting abandoned cart information.
Yes, absolutely. Right? And you want to do remarketing on abandoned carts. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. What we have found in the past with e-commerce projects that we've worked on is that remarketing using a messaging or a SMS, so you use Facebook Messenger or you can use just straight up text, has a much higher conversion rate on retargeting and trying to get people to complete that first sale than traditional email.
Oh, yeah. You'll just get lost.
Yeah, for sure.
Text is more in your face.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. So we've got a couple of things here. We're going to, there's a little bit. So Sashita, did you want to walk through how to create broad audiences and what that kind of means?
Yeah, sure. So again, the first step is learning who your audiences are. And this can happen by running multiple tests and also creating, not starting with a niche, but creating a broad set of audience that way. In that way, you will understand which group is actually interacting with your business, and then we can further develop those audiences from there.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not making an assumption about your target audience, letting Facebook's AI do what it does best, right? You can optimize for all sorts of behaviors, so you can set your campaign targets, right? So you could start with engagement, right? That's one of the audience target, the campaign targets. So you can say, I want the most engaged people. That's my goal, right? You can also do conversions. You can do all manner of things. But let Facebook's AI do what it does best. It's going to try to find the best individuals that are reacting. Then you can go into the audience manager, and then you can actually slice and dice that data and really understand more specifically who your real audience is on that platform. Okay. So, boom, there you go. Dropping knowledge bombs.
Everywhere.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about IDFA, which is Identifiers for Advertisers. Now, IDFA is actually very accurate. This is the irony of this whole problem. It, in fact, adds additional tracking to mobile apps to allow for much more specific tracking. The problem is that very few people are opting in because of the way that Apple has framed the message, which is, do you want advertisers to track you?
Right? No.
Yeah. It's just worded in a way to make people shut it off, and that's what they're doing. So with iOS users, we don't have that tracking capability anymore, right? At least severely, severely hampered. And it's a big chunk of the market. Obviously, Apple has a big market share. It's still not bigger than combined Android, but as a single manufacturer, they are. So some strategies to consider here. Using broader audiences for inclusion, that can work. The most important one here is building up your first-party data, is to use that Facebook Pixel, make sure it's installed properly. And you're going to have to dig into different types of setups in terms of tracking, because you can create conversion points throughout, or even custom conversions, okay? So that you're building that data. The most important one is integrating, and that's the highlight there, your CRM with and your marketing automation platform, whether it's MailChimp or ActiveCampaign or Drip or whatever you want. But never rely on what we would call SneakerNet. Ever heard of SneakerNet before?
No, what so is back that?
I'm dating myself pretty severely. But back in the day when there were like network issues and things like that, you'd put stuff on a floppy disk and then you'd save it. And then you walk over to the other computer and plug it in. So when people said they had SneakerNet, they didn't have a network. They were just moving stuff on floppy disks.
Oh,
okay.
It was called SneakerNet. Like you got to put your shoes on to walk to the other machine.
You're wearing sneakers. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of what you're putting down. Okay.
But that's not good. It never scales. It never scales well. Imports, exports get forgotten. They're not timely. You want to have an integration. One integration solution is LeadsBridge. If you're, you know, there's lots of ways to integrate things, but LeadsBridge is a good one. If you maybe have limited development or technical experience, it certainly eases that process.
Yeah. Stay away from the sneaker net. It's archaic.
All right.
Friday tip.
And for all of those not in Ontario, this is a long weekend for us here. So the bees will be off on Monday. It is a civic holiday weekend, it's called. All right. So just to wrap it all up, again, I think the big takeaway here for your Facebook promotional efforts is that audiences are critical to success. Like that's, you got to start there and work your way back. Because if you're running your campaigns without these, you're going to have all sorts of pain.
Yeah. What do I always say? You can't build a house on a leaky foundation.
People have. It just doesn't
I know. Well, it's just, then they got to rebuild their house. There's renos. Have you seen the cost of wood lately?
Isn't that coming? It's coming down again, though, the cost of wood.
Well, it's because everybody had sticker shock. They went in there thinking, oh, I'm going to do my deck. And they're like, whoa.
Right? Yeah. A 4x8 piece of plywood that was like $7 was, I think at the peak, it was like $58. And a 2x4 was something similar to that too. So, yeah. All right, everybody. Well, that takes us to the end of this episode of Live at the Hive Digital Marketing from the Trenches. Have a great weekend. Yeah, we will see you next week. Same bee time, same bee channel. Okay. Bye, everybody.
Take care. Peace.
Bye.
Bye.